You know what? It's been a long week. We have talked about racial and economic divides in our nation, gamma knife brain surgery, and why we never change our minds, or almost never. Now it's time to sit back, relax, let's celebrate Friday, and head into the break room.
Remember when people used to say boss when they were describing something that was really cool? But now boss is just slang for jerk in charge.
It is possible to lead a healthy, active, fulfilling life with student loan debt. Just not for very long.
Plant foods are superior to animal products in every way. Go vegan, everybody. Mm.
Joining us in the break room, Chuck Reese is the editor-in-chief of The Bitter Southerner. Jessica Lee Libos is the community editor for Connect Savannah, and her debut on in the break room. Hi, Jessica.
Hello. It's so great to be here.
Also with us, Tamika DePriest, Senior Director for Communications at Emory, and Jeff Breedlove, Communications Director for DeKalb County Commissioner Nancy Jester. Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Welcome to Friday.
Yay, Friday.
Speaking of the end of the work week, let's talk about work. Some people do not like their jobs, and you can understand if they have a boss like this.
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
We have sort of a problem here. Yeah, you apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS reports.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that. I forgot.
Yeah. If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Okay, so it turns out, according to a study from a Danish organization, they discovered that what causes depression at work is not your workload. It's your boss. You're much more likely to be depressed on the job if your boss is unfair. So have we found this to be true? And you don't have to talk about your current job. Jeff's raising his hand.
I have to go on record as saying DeKalb County Commissioner Nancy Jester may be the best boss ever. Hey, Nancy, because I know she's listening. But I'm not going to come on the air and say no. But I will say this. What I found over the years is not so much my boss, but sometimes your coworkers, when they're not working to succeed and they're just there to show up and collect a paycheck and go home, I think that affects morale around the office. And I found, you know, that to be kind of depressing a little bit more than the boss itself is the coworkers. That's been my experience.
Okay. Well, let's hear from Jessica. What about you? And they specifically said an unfair boss, somebody who is not consistent and unjust. Can that ruin a job for you?
Well, look, I mean, I work for great people, but I keep a giant bottle of Rescue Remedy in my desk because you never know what's going to happen during the day. But, you know, yes, I mean, I think being treated unfairly or just working for someone who doesn't like you or, you know, brings in difficult material for you to work with when they know that you're not ready to do that, yeah, that can make you depressed. What I thought was really interesting about this study is that they studied cortisol levels, and which is used to measure stress, and stress doesn't cause depression. It's really caused by working with people and around people who, again, are unfair or might be depressed themselves, which I think brings up an interesting point. So if your boss is depressed, you know, how is that setting somebody up to succeed?
That's interesting.
I've had a pretty good track record. In fact, great. I have had one occasion where, you know, sort of my boss and I wasn't in alignment. And there was some unfair practices also in play. And I loved the job, but I did not like the experience. So much so it got to the point where actually there were days when I woke up thinking, oh, I don't want to go there. And so it led me to just, you know, resign and move on to my next opportunity. So, yeah, I definitely think it can have an impact. And the University of Michigan's Depression Center says depression ranks as the number one contributor to disability, and it's associated with more than $44 billion per year in lost productivity. And so I thought, there must be a lot of bad bosses out there.
There are.
But I've been lucky.
Well, that's why I'm my own boss now. Yeah. I made that choice.
That doesn't mean you're not still a bad boss.
No, I know that. I try really hard not to be
that. You could be a bad boss of yourself. Speaking of depression, the Atlanta Braves, still terrible. The club has won the fewest games in all of baseball this season. But of course, look, everything will be better when the team plays in their brand new stadium in Cobb County, right? Traffic is already a subject of concern. In response, the Braves say they will push back the start of their home games from 7 p.m. to 7:30 because that will help relieve traffic congestion. And Jeff, you're already shaking your head. No, it won't work.
Well, let me say, I've been to a lot of Braves games. I live in Grant Park. I'm a longtime attendee at Turner Field.
Yeah.
And I've worked in the area where the stadium's moving and know a lot of the leaders in Cobb County up there. It's an unmitigated disaster what's about to happen. And it's not just for Cobb. It's impacting Sandy Springs and Dunwoody. Those communities, those neighborhoods are just figuring that out and are scrambling to figure out what's about to hit those people. The only thing that's going to save the north side of Atlanta is if the Braves keep playing the way they are and no one goes to the games.
Or if maybe they let MARTA expand into Cobb County. What do you think? Jessica, you don't live up here, but can moving the time...
Well, I think it sounds like a brilliant idea. It still doesn't give me enough time to drive on I-16 from Savannah.
No.
So we don't have Major League Baseball here. We have the Savannah Bananas, which is a awesome college summer league. We had a great time. So it's, but you know, it's not
don't
something that's taken this seriously.
Get your Savannah Banana plugs in here. Check.
check them out.
The Savannah Bananas just won the championship.
They did.
Jessica.
They just won the championship.
No,
it was
bananas
really
plugs
exciting.
Here when we're complaining about the Braves. Go
and
ahead.
Well, when you talk about a commute, it's a 10-minute commute.
Well, I think it'll have as much impact as HOV lanes have had,
which is
nothing. No reduction in traffic or car pollution. For that matter.
Well, you know, there's a more fundamental problem with baseball, which is that the games, you know, have just gotten longer and longer and longer. Used to be that if you went to a major league ball game, you could pretty much count on the standard 9-inning game getting done in between 2.5 and 3 hours. It's 3 at minimum these days because they've let the pitchers take so long between pitches. And it's like, I think people are getting bored with the sport anyway. And
so moving it a half hour later just means you might be there past midnight.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, I live in DeKalb County, and it's going to take me, if I go to a ball game that starts at 7:30, probably not going to get home till midnight, 12:30, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do it.
The other bad thing up there, and I think it's horrible what they've done, is this whole parking situation. There is no rapid rail per se. Folks are going to over...
Wait, per se, there is rapid rail, well, not say?
Well, there's Cobb Rapid Transit, but there's no MARTA line. It's much worse than it was at Turner Field. And parking itself is a disaster. They can't make agreements. The Cobb Board of Commissioners is being very restrictive on what private property owners can do.
Yeah.
And they've got a real mess on their hands. I think it's horrible for people that do want to go to the games. The games have gotten longer. Instant replay and the challenges have added to it, too. And this is just a mess.
Well, all of this sounds very charming to me. I mean, it makes minor league baseball very charming.
Jessica's reaffirming her decision to live in Savannah at this moment.
Plenty of parking at Grayson Stadium.
let's put this out to our listeners. Do you think that pushing back the home game time from 7 o'clock to 7:30? I should mention that they said rush hour in Atlanta generally goes to 7:15. So pushing it to 7:30 is supposed to avoid rush hour. Okay, if
great
you think
on game
that
nights, it goes to 8 now.
If you think that will work or not work, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 404-500-9457. You can also tweet us at OST Talk or post on Facebook. My guests in the break room, Chuck Reese, editor-in-chief of the Bitter Southerner, Jessica Lee Liebus of Connect Savannah, Tamika DePriest of Emory University, and Jeff Breedlove of the DeKalb County Commissioner's Office. It is Friday. We are hanging out, and we're going to talk about soon a new rule that's supposed to prevent male lawyers from talking down to their female counterparts.
The lady has foolishly attempted to join the conversation with a wild and dangerous opinion of her own. Women, know your limits. In thought, be plain and simple, and let your natural sweetness shine through.
Yeah, right. This is On Second Thought. How's your new love?
Are you happy? Hope you're doing fine. Just to know it means so much to me. What's that, darling? How am I doing? Guess I'm doing all right.
Well, let's talk about one more source of misery. We already talked about traffic and parking. Let's talk about student loans. Right now, students in the U.S. have racked up an estimated $1.3 trillion in loan debt, and that can hurt our nation in more ways than one.
Student loans only get worse with time and can manifest in many ways. Studio apartments, having roommates well into your 30s, top ramen, and driving a car older than yourself.
Okay, so the president of Bard College recently suggested all student loans should be forgiven. He says that will end up stimulating the economy. Not everyone is thrilled with that idea, though. One listener posted it at my Facebook page, quote, "At least I have the decency to pay my loans off," end quote. So is this a matter of human decency, and is loan forgiveness a reasonable idea? What do we think? Jeff, you're shaking your head already. You are the early, early reactor.
Well, I mean, I went to Georgia State. And there was one semester where I was working three jobs plus taking a full load of classes to pay my own way. And I think it sends a horrible, horrible signal to young people in America if we suggest that you make a commitment and you don't have to keep yours. That doesn't work in the real world. It doesn't help you succeed in life. And if we're going to send a message to people that have already made a commitment, that they just don't have to keep it, that's horrible. Now, if we change things through the legislative process, that's one thing. But for folks that made a commitment and signed on the dotted line, they need to keep their word just like everyone who paid the loans did. It's just not right.
I will say, though, I had multiple jobs in college and scholarships and still walked away with student loan debt. Student loan debt is treated differently than any other type of debt in the United States.
But if you're going to say, I'll take this money and I will pay it back, you need to do that. And I'll tell you right now, I don't know what you would contribute to a business. I don't know how anybody could trust you anywhere else if that's the posture you take.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, that's like, you know, the thing about it is that we don't get into, we're at the point now where we have a more systemic problem created by all this student debt. And, you know, while I might not go all the way to forgiveness, you know, I wonder about some sort of broader debt reduction plan for everybody who's carrying this student loan debt. Because the thing about it is, I'm 55 years old. My mother died when I was 11 years old, and my dad socked away those Social Security checks from her until it was time for me to go to college. And basically, that money was enough to put me through college, so I never had to go through the student debt thing. I was fortunate like that, but I have many friends. It's just a crippling thing for, and I think it's probably so widespread at this point it's a drag on the economy, so I think it's worth considering not a full-scale forgiveness, but some kind of scaling back.
There are already loan forgiveness programs,
yeah.
With certain parameters wrapped around them, like for if you're in education and you teach in a certain environment that's, you know, economically disadvantaged. There are some programs for doctors working in similar communities. And so it already exists at a certain level. And I think, you know, part of the student loan formula is access to jobs when you graduate. So I'm not so certain that it's, well, I'm pretty sure it's not all about a trust issue, but it's about an access and opportunity. And so I'm for looking even deeper at loan forgiveness programs. You got 42 million Americans who have student debt.
You can't discharge it in bankruptcy. You can't refinance it. I mean, the student loan debt, if they treated it like another loan, we would not have the problems that we have. But they have the U.S. government has made it so that student loan is very, very difficult to either pay off or get rid of. Here's another thing, a point I might make, and this is personal to me because I still have a student loan that I've been paying now for 20 years.
Wow.
They give you an interest rate when you leave college, and that's it. That you're set
yes.
with that look, for
look,
the
yes.
rest of your
yes.
life.
Look, reasonable people can agree to tweak things and make things happen, but this idea of just forgiving it and saying it's zero, I think
some people have paid more in interest than the original loan was yes. for when you're talking about
I have interest rate.
Sorry, Jessica,
so,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, because I have to say I agree with Tamika and Chuck. And, you know, if you're not going to do a forgiveness, we need to look at a broader scope of debt reduction. I remember celebrating my husband's 40th birthday, and which coincided with the last student loan payment. At the time, you know, we have two children. We already had a mortgage. We had been carrying that debt for a really long time. It felt really good to pay off, and I feel really fortunate that we've been able to. But it was, again, you can't renegotiate that debt like you can other types of debt, credit card debts, car debts. You could, you know, even going into bankruptcy. And I'm very grateful, in terms of it allowed him to open his own business and become an entrepreneur. So it's worked out great. But I look at other people, especially people that I work with who are in their 20s and 30s who are shouldering massive amounts of debt. And I think as an economic stimulus, looking at it from an economic perspective, just like any other economic stimulus, when you give corporations a tax break or you give another sector of the population some kind of break, it stimulates people to spend more money on other things, and it can really kickstart what we need in this country is more jobs, more businesses, and more people working.
And I should also say, Jeff, this is, you and I are both older. College is considerably more expensive now than it was 20 or 30 years ago.
Well, we
got a tweet. We have to move on. But we had a tweet from T-Barf, who says, Jeff is spot on. And Carrie Howell says, student loans drove up the cost of tuition. I literally can't die to get out of it. Let's move on to something else that will end here. Talk show hosts Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert moved on from Comedy Central, and the network replaced them with two non-white hosts, Trevor Noah and Larry Wilmore. Now, at this point, Noah is the last man standing.
But I am Larry Wilmore, your next host for the next, 29 minutes and 31 seconds. This boy. Now, let me just say, it's never easy when your television show gets canceled. But I have to tell you, for me, there has been a silver lining, you guys. All the free booze.
The Nightly Show, hosted by Larry Wilmore, aired its final episode last night. Comedy Central says the show is canceled because of low ratings, and that means there is only one non-white late-night show host remaining on TV. Did you ever watch The Nightly Show, Anne? Do you think the show failed because people aren't ready to support black hosts, or another reason?
I've watched the show and though have not been consistent with it. So for me, I think consistency was part of it. I would have liked to have seen the network, apply more time because some have gotten more time to kind of tweak the segments and their show, the way it's formatted, to make a better connection. So I don't think you had the right mix of elements.
I would agree with that because I think Trevor Noah is fantastic. I think he's sexy. I think he's young and funny and quick. And I think Larry Wilmore's humor, a little drier. He's not, he's a little nerdier maybe, but super smart and whip smart. But he also focused a lot on racial injustice in his show, which I think is fantastic. I think that I wish America was ready for that. I think we all need to hear some of that. But I think couched in the humor that he was bringing, I think it was maybe difficult for people to take in a little bit in a consistent way. I also think his press dinner jokes fell a little flat, and I think that might have contributed.
At the correspondence dinner.
The correspondence dinner, exactly.
Yeah, so, he didn't get the best performance there.
I think he's a very smart guy, and I really hope he's going to find a place somewhere because I think his voice really needs to be heard.
I agree with that, and he's a really talented guy, and his segments on The Daily Show when Stewart was still there were amazing. But I also think you have to look at this a little bit through the lens of just the changing zeitgeist of the country. You know, you think back to how long it took Jon Stewart to build up to the point where everyone sort of thought what he said was critical. You know, you had to listen to it. It's a very different situation when you put anyone in a position in trying to fill shoes like that, because the expectations are so much higher on them than it ever was, than they ever were on the original guy.
We have a tweet here again from T-Barf. It says, the show just wasn't that funny. Plain and simple, he mistook snark for comedy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we always welcome comments from our listeners. You can reach us on Twitter, like T-Barf does, at OST Talk, or go on to Facebook. Let's talk about the Olympic Games. almost over. Jeff Breedlove is wearing his red shoes and star socks that no one in Radioland can see. The 2016 Olympic Games in Rio wrap up this weekend. The U.S. is way out in front. America has won 40 more medals overall than the second place country, which is Great Britain. One of those gold medals belongs to gymnast Gabby Douglas.
Douglas needs a big score.
And she has height to her release moves on this event.
There's a reason they call her the flying squirrel.
And she nails it.
Does she always rise to the occasion?
She does.
You know what? That's the first time in a while that I have seen a smile out of Gabby Douglas.
So maybe the reason Douglas has been in poor spirits is the onslaught of criticism she's gotten on Twitter. The 20-year-old athlete has been attacked for not holding her hand over her heart during the national anthem, not being enthusiastic enough on TV, and she's been criticized for her hair as well. Where do we think this criticism comes from? And I should say other athletes have not held their hands over their hearts. So I'm wondering, why do we think Gabby Douglas is being targeted specifically? Ideas?
I think it might be holdover from the last Olympics when she was attacked for her hair and all of these things. I mean, it's heartbreaking because she's not only a gifted and incredible athlete, but clearly a lovely young woman. And it pains me to see what's gone on social media against her. I also think that the repetition of the media sort of picking up on these things sort of snowballs it and invites other people to continue the slide. But, you know, it's been a little depressing to watch.
Yeah, I'm completely puzzled by it. And in some ways, I wonder the impact it had on just her performance this time around in the Olympics. I'm sure there were many stressors, but it's tough when you are singled out and also great.
I agree with you on that, but I also think that you know, we clearly still have some double standard problems here. You know, you look at what was going on yesterday after it was revealed that Lochte and Ryan Lochte,
the swimmer,
had, you know, and those three other swimmers
fabricated a story of being robbed at gunpoint.
Exactly. You know, when you heard about that, the reaction was, oh, they're just kids being kids, you know.
He's 32.
Boys will be boys. And it's just, you know, it's crap. And, you know, I think that black athletes, when they reach that level, particularly in sports where we perhaps haven't seen them reach such a high level of achievement, they're held to such enormously high standards.
Yeah.
It's like they have to do everything perfectly, you know, and no
Even
one
Even if
can,
they do, they may still come in.
Right.
I mean, I think it's horrible what's happening to her, and I'm thinking about the cover of Time magazine where it talks about, are we turning over social media to a bunch of haters, a hate generation? And I think it's indicative of what's going on out there. I mean, when you compare that to what those young men did, I think what those men did were, what we know about seems horrible and very, very bad. So I think these younger athletes, to attack her like this, I mean, it really bothers me. We should applaud the fact that she's even in the Olympics. She's worked so hard, given so much of her life, and shown so much talent. And for people just to attack over little things, I think, is horrible.
Well, can I say one more thing? Because I just feel like, I mean, it's really important to put out that the attacks on her, they're misogynistic, they're racist, they're unacceptable.
Speaking of misogyny,
Speaking
of misogyny, let's talk about the American Bar Association. They have a new rule now, and it forbids male lawyers from calling female attorneys honey or darling or anything like that while they are in court. That came after one female lawyer was told during a trial, quote, "Don't raise your voice at me. It's not becoming of a woman," end quote. So were female attorneys being oversensitive, or is this a step forward?
No, they were not being oversensitive, and yes, it's a step forward.
Okay, fair enough. Tamika?
Ditto.
We're going to get through this fast, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's amazing. Are we still here? Do we actually need to legislate people's
clearly,
language?
And
clearly we do, because
we do.
You know, again, it's a Southern thing, y'all, hey darling, you know, all those things can be seen as you know, familiarity, which is not appropriate in a courtroom, no matter what.
But
in
if
a
I
professional
were,
environment.
If I were an attorney and I was in court against a woman, and the woman said, "Hey, sugar britches," or "Hey, honey," or whatever. You know,
sugar britches.
I'm not gonna. That's a good one, sugar britches. But you know, it's,
you know, you're in the South when.
At any rate, what I'm saying is that, you know, I would be shocked. You know, it would be like, you know, how dare you address me this way in such an august body?
So, I also think the court would receive, I think there would be some gender difference in terms of the way the court would respond to that. I was just imagining if a woman, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot and sugar britches came out, just the amount of scorn.
Oh, jaws would drop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't think anybody's ever called me sugar britches, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but
it's bad.
It's bad. But I do think, you know, in the South, and I grew up here, some of those terms of endearment happen culturally, but in the courtroom and in professional settings, it's just not appropriate. I don't think it was appropriate in the 1950s, and I don't think it's appropriate today.
Unless, you know, unless I'm being called that by someone quite elderly, I usually take exception. We are out of time in the break room today. I want to say thank you to my guest, Chuck Reese, is editor-in-chief of The Bitter Southerner. Jessica Lee Libos is community editor for Connect Savannah. Jeff Breedlove is the communications director for DeKalb County Commissioner Nancy Jester. And Tamika DePriest is the new senior director for communications at Emory University. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Happy Friday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's throw that question out to our listeners, though. When was the last time you were called honey or darling or, dare I say, sugar britches? And was it offensive or not? Call us at 404-500-9457. We are on Twitter. I'm at Celeste Headley. The show is at OST Talk. For today and the week, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great weekend.
About due to get into precisely what I am about to do. I'm conversating to the folks who have no whatsoever clue. So listen very carefully as I break it down for you. Merrily, 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 high, happy, overjoyed. Please, with all the beats and rhymes my sisters have employed. Slick and smooth rolling down the sound, totally a yes. Let me state the position. Ladies first, yes?
Yes. Yeah, they're gonna-